My God, that is who you are. Personal to me. He's my God, and I thank him for that. And boy, I'll tell you, that's great. Thank you, worship team and choir. That was amazing. It is a blessing to be here, and I'm thankful to be able to preach. If you got a copy of God's Word, we'll be in the book of Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 24. I do hate the circumstances that I get to preach, but I am thankful to preach. We will continue to be in prayer for Brother BJ and his family. And very thankful for the opportunity this morning. And I want to share to you this word this morning. We'll look at chapter 24. That'd be our main text. We'll read verse 3. We'll skip a few verses, get toward the end of the chapter. Here's the title this morning. I want you to be thinking about it. Here it is, the end of the world. And I do not want you to turn me off when I tell you that. So just keep listening to me in the scripture. We'll make it a little more clear. But the title is the end of the world. How many times in your life have you heard that? The end is near. How many times have you heard these conspiracy folks say the end is going to happen in so-and-so day? The end is going to happen. And so I got to thinking about that as I was studying the end of the world, and I got on the most reliable web page I could find to see how many times the end of the world, what people kind of conspiracy, how many times they said it would happen. So I got on Wikipedia, and so I got on there, and I know that it's not the most secure place. You can get on there and do whatever you want. But I looked up how many times people in this world have said, hey, the end's going to happen this time. End's going to happen this time. And let me tell you, if I told you every example that Wikipedia had, I think that'd be enough for the message. So I'm not going to do that. But I want to share it to you from the year 2000 to 2025, how many times or how many years they said the end would happen. Let me give you this. 2000, 2001, 2003, 2006, 2007, 2000, it's going to get old, but you'll hear it. 2010, 2011, 2012, I think they made a movie. 2013, 2014, 2015, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021. I figure they haven't updated since 2021, but I think somebody said, you get the point. People think the end is near. And this is not anything new. If I were to give you all the things from zero, I don't know if it'd be AD or BC, but zero all the way to now, hundreds of years, somebody got on there and they'd say, hey, the end is going to happen this year. I say all that to introduce what Jesus has to say about the end of the world. That's what's important to me. I'm not as worried about what other people have to say as I am what the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has to say. So look with me in our text. If you would stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. We'll look at chapter 24. Like I said, we'll read verse 3. That'll set us up and we'll skip to verse 32. So read verse 3 and it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming?" Here it is. "And of the end of the world." Look with me in verse 32. He gives us a parable. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, you, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." I underline this in my Bible. "But my words shall not pass away. Of that day an hour knoweth no man, no, not of the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall they also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, verse 42, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. If there's a main verse in this text, here it is. Therefore, verse 44, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If you would, pray with me. Father, what an honor it is to be in the house of the Lord, the freedom that we have to do it. And I thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you would just fill me with the Holy Spirit and pour me out, Father. Thank you that we have hope in the name of Jesus. If there's anything I can do, Father, help me to give this hope to somebody out there that's depressed and that's in despair and that needs help. And help us to see that Jesus Christ is the way. We love you and thank you. Pray you'd bless this time and all God's people said. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as we look at the text we just read in Matthew chapter 24, I think the Bible is very clear that no man, if you look, it's in verse 36, but no man on this earth knows the day, knows the hour. The only person that knows is the Lord God. And so we look at these people that say, hey, it's near, hey, it's near. And you think, Brother J.D., what does the Bible have to say? Friend, that's what I'm intrigued about, and that's what I want to see. What does Jesus have to say about the end of the world? I think the Bible is very clear when we look at it. If you want to look at verse number 32, I want you to see, number one, the promise of the end of the world. It is going to happen. No ifs, no ands, no buts. And verse 32 through 34 says it. Verse 32, now learn a parable of a fig tree. His branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. You know that summer is nigh, summer is near. No, so likewise, you when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, here it is, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. We'll go ahead and read verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You may be asking, how can I know for certain that the end is going to happen? How can I know? And friend, I'm going to tell you the best advice, the best thing I can give you is take what God says and apply it to our life. Take what God has to say in His Word and believe it. And I think the Bible is very clear that the promise is going to happen. The world will end one day. Which brings up a question to me. If all I can trust is God's promise. So many others have said, hey, it's going to happen here. It's going to happen there. And God says it's going to happen. I feel like some folks may be just getting tired of it and say, well, maybe question their mind, is it really going to happen? And the answer is an absolute yes. It will happen. And the Bible's very clear about it. And the Bible says the promise I've got is from the Lord Jesus Himself. And I want to ask you a question that kind of, I think about this. In your life, do you trust the promises of God? Think about that for a minute. If the only thing I've got hinging upon my life, let me just start from the beginning. If the only thing I've got hinging upon my salvation is God's promise, do I trust Him? If all I've got for me to say I'm going to heaven based off the blood of Jesus, not of works, lest any man should boast, can I truly trust God? And friend, I'm here to encourage you. You can on the authority of God's Word. What He says is true. It's a promise that the end will happen. And my question is, do you take God at His Word? Many people want proof. Many people want proof. Friend, Jesus is enough proof for me. I think Jesus is enough for me. and I don't know what will happen tomorrow, and I don't know when the end is going. I'm not going to tell you something and it be wrong, but here's what I'm going to tell you without any stutter, without any stammer. It will happen, and we need to be ready. Verse 44 says, be ready. And I want everybody in this room to know the end is a promise. The Bible tells us in our text that Jesus will return to earth. If you look with me in verse number 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see, here it is, the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Here's what I'm promised. Number one, Jesus will come and rapture his church. No ifs, no ands, no buts. That day, what Jesus will do, he'll part those skies, he'll come, and he will get us. We'll go up and meet him in the air, as the book of Thessalonians says, and I love what it says, and forever we will be with our Lord. And I trust that with all my heart. He'll come back to earth. It's a promise. He'll do that. We'll have a great tribulation, and then he'll come and he'll step foot on this earth, and he will rule, he will reign, and he'll take care of what needs to be taken care of. The Bible's very clear that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And friend, you can trust that. And that's what I want us to do this morning as a church, to trust the promises of God. And Jesus promises it with his eternal word. And the Bible says in the book of John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. His Word is eternal. And if I can encourage you with anything this morning, if he says it, you can believe it. I don't care what everybody else says, and I don't care which way the world goes. But what Jesus says, you can take it to the bank. And you can believe what the Bible has to say about it. He promises that it will happen. And if God, just think about this. If God says that he promises it, do you trust him? I wrote this down. If God says, if you will acknowledge him in all your ways, that he will direct your paths, that's Proverbs 3:6, you can believe it. The Bible also says, and God says the world will end and it will happen, you can believe it. Friend, it's a promise. I'm going to give you something else in our text. If you look at verse number 37, not only is it a promise, but at the end, I want you to see the people at the end of the world. Not only the promise of the end, but I want you to see the people at the end. Look with me in verse number 37. We'll read. Bible says in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, here's the people. They were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Here it is, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus describes the characteristics of the people at the end. And what does he say about them? I think it's very clear. They just don't care. Friend, that's about as theological as I can get you. What about these people at the end? Friend, they just don't care. And I'm afraid that there's so many people out in this world, and I wonder if there's anybody in this room that just don't care. Everything's taken care of. The bank's full of money. The house is paid. Everything here is fine, and you just don't care about the end. And Jesus is telling us that that's how it'll be. And he's telling us about these people that just won't be ready? I wrote this question down and I ask you, how many people do you know right now that don't care about Jesus and they don't care about the end of the world? Think about that for a minute. Boy, that floods my mind, and as I get to thinking about it, man, there's a lot of folks I know that just don't care. And friend, I'm worried about that. Because the Bible says that that's how it's going to be. There's promises, but there's the people that just don't care. And I ask myself this question, why don't they care? I mean, this much importance on your eternity is based off what you do with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why don't people care? And as I was thinking about that and I looked at these scriptures that we looked at, I come to find out in our verse, the reason that they don't care is because they care too much about things in this world. Look with me in verse 38. They don't care about eternity because they care too much about things of this world. Verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Talks about what happened when Noah. Talks about the flood. Talks about the people. And he says they care too much about things here. If you would, go back to the book of Genesis with me. We'll look at Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to look just a little closer at the story of Noah and the ark and these people that were before the flood. Chapter 6, verse number 5. Chapter 6, verse number 5. The Bible says they just don't care. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Instead of having concern for eternal things, all they cared about was evil things. Is that not what that text says? There were only evil continually. And my friend, I'm here to warn you, I don't think it was just in Noah's day. I'm afraid it's today. I'm afraid it's folks in the world that we live in right now. And I pray it's not anybody in this church, but there's people in this world that just don't care. And the reason they don't care is because they are holding things here. And as I was studying, I thought about that parable that Jesus shared about that sower went forth to sow in the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 14. He goes to tell his disciples what that parable meant. And he said the seed that was sown on the thorns. Yeah, here it is. Thank you, brother. That which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. And as I studied that verse, friend, let me tell you what came to my mind. How many people are being choked right now? How many people are choked down? They are choked by the things of this world. And friend, here's my prayer. If you're choked by the things of this world, you need to get loose in the name of Jesus, and you need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The people in Noah's day were choked. The people in this day are choked. And here's my challenge to you. Have a loose grip to things here, and have a death grip to things eternal. I'm talking about a loose grip where if it fell out of your hand, you wouldn't even matter. If it fell out of your hand and things didn't go good, it would be okay because you've got a death grip on eternity. I love what Job said. Though he slay me, yet I trust him. And friend, that's the life I want to live in the name of Jesus. Things of this world, they come and they go. And I see in our text that because the end is a promise and because the end has these people, we as a church need to have that loose grip on the things here and a death grip on the things of that world, things of heaven. And I think the Bible's very clear. I wrote this down. Maybe this will spark your interest. I bet that half of the things that you got for Christmas are now old to you. That was 2, maybe 3 weeks ago. I think about kids. I think about Brother Brian Scott and Sister Carl. They said, hey, we're going to go on a cruise this year. And the reason we're going is because every time we get them gifts, they play with it for 30 minutes, and then they forget about it the rest of the year. I think that's the world we live in. Friend, I think that's the accolades of this world. It's so good in the moment, and then it's gone, and it's not pleasing anymore. That's why we got to have that death grip on God. Got to have that death grip on the Lord Jesus Christ. So be a person, as the Scripture says, be a person that cares about the end of the world and somebody that cares about where they'll spend eternity. Love what the Bible says. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I see the promise that the end will happen. I see the people at the end. I want to leave you with this in verse 40. I want you and I to be prepared for the end. Let's look at verse number 40. Be prepared for the end. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Verse 44, a key verse. Therefore, here it is, be ye also ready. Let me give you J.D.'s translation. Be prepared. Bible says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. There is no excuse for us as a church not to be ready. There is absolutely no excuse. When you stand before an almighty God, there will not be an excuse. You've seen the promise. It will happen. We've seen the people, how they act, and now we've got to make a decision. And the decision is, will I be ready? And will I be prepared? And I think as we look at our text, I don't want us to get caught off guard when it happens. Like I said, I don't know when. I don't know a lot of things. But I know it will happen. And I know that Jesus will come back. And I'm certain of that on the authority of God's Word. And I'm going to tell you by this Word and by our text we're reading this morning, we don't need to be caught off guard, because that's what happened with Noah. That's what happened in his day. Verse number 38, they were caught off guard. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39, here it is. And they knew not until. They knew not until the flood came, took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You're probably thinking right now, Brother JD, you're telling me to get prepared. But how do I get prepared? How do I, as a life-breathing human, how do I get prepared for the end of the world? And I shared it in the men's room this morning when we prayed. I want to share it to you, what I think the answer is, based off the Word of God. The best way to be prepared then is to get prepared now. Does that not make sense to y'all? The best way to have it taken care of there is to have it taken care of now. And Jesus says, be you also ready. Be ready to see Jesus. And friend, I'm worried that so many folks are not. I want you to be prepared for Jesus. Let me show you, give you a little example, a little life application as I was looking at this. Right now in my life, I'm doing a lot of hunting, deer hunting, because this is the time you're supposed to be hunting. Let me tell you two things I do every single time I go hunting. Number one, when I'm off the road 50 yards and I park my truck, I get out of my truck, I grab my gun, and I load it then. Because I've heard so many stories of people that got that big buck on the field and they got them crosshairs up and they pull the trigger and all it says is click. You heard that story? So I go ahead and I say, you know what? I'm going to be prepared. Get that gun ready. That way when the action's ready, I'm ready. Let me tell you the second thing I do. I know a lot of folks don't do this, but I do this. In my shooting house, there's a window. And either right when I get there or right when I know the action's coming. You can hear deer. And when I hear them walking in the woods and when I think it's about time they're going to come out, I go ahead and I slide that window open. And I lock it up there. That way I'm prepared. When the time comes, the deer comes out, I'm probably going to be shaking in my boots because of how big it is, but I am prepared at a moment's notice. Does that make sense? And friend, I'm going to tell you that's how we need to be in our walk with Christ. I believe that we need to have everything taken care of here. For what Jesus calls us to do, we get saved, we ask Him into our heart, He washes us clean, and then we walk with Him all the days of our life. Be prepared for the end. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'll get ready when the time's right? You ever heard somebody say, "But I'll get ready on down the road"? Boy, I've heard that many times in my life. I've heard stories about that. And here's what I found out. That time never comes. Boy, somehow it just slips away. The time never comes when it's time that they think they need to make a decision. And friend, let me tell you the best time to make that decision. It's the here and now. Be ye also ready, as Jesus would put it. Let me give you a scripture that'll help us out. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he says, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. It does not say later, does it? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I think if we look at our text, I believe Jesus says the same thing in different words in verse 44. He says, be ye also ready. Brings us to a question as we finish this morning. Brother Jody, you've told me to get prepared. How do I get prepared? Friend, I'm going to give you some practical things in a Christian's life to be prepared to meet Jesus. And I think the scripture backs us up. Number one, we got to live for Jesus now. Live for Jesus now. So many people want to wait till it's right. And friend, that time never comes. But if you live for Jesus in the here, and if you live for Jesus in the now, you'll be ready. Let me give you a scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. I want to read it to you. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Here's verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, here it is, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Friend, I'm going to tell you something, and you know it's true. The way you live now tells me, and it tells the world, if you're prepared. The way you live every day tells me if you're prepared. Let me give you something else. Be a person that lives for Jesus, and I think the Bible says also be a light for Jesus. Friend, let me tell you what the world needs right now. It needs a light. It needs a light. It needs a bright light for Jesus. I've got two lights at my house. I've got one that goes on my cordless stuff that I use when we take the dog out, and I've got that light. And let me tell you, that light is sorry. I'm going to just go ahead and put it the way I can. Gets out there, and you cannot see what you ought to see. But I've got another light that I go hunting with. And let me tell you, if you shine that light in your eyes, you've got 30 minutes without seeing. It is very, very bright. My question to you is, what light are you in this world? Are you something that's dim, or are you someone that's bright? Let me tell you what we don't need. We don't need dim people. There's enough of them. And friend, I'm going to tell you on the authority of God's word, I don't want to be somebody that's dim. I don't want to be somebody that's lukewarm. I don't want to be somebody that's being on the fence. I want to be somebody that's shining, that everybody that comes in contact with me knows this. He don't know it all, but he knows Jesus. That's what I want to be, and I pray you want that. And that's a way to be ready. Live for Jesus. Be a light for Jesus. Let me give you a couple scriptures here that'll impact us. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. It'll be on the screen. And that, knowing the time, that now is it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let me give you another scripture. I'll be brief. Matthew 5, 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brother Jody, how can I be prepared if I'm a Christian? Friend, you can live for Jesus and you can be a light for Jesus. And when that time comes, it's promised, it's people, and we need to be prepared. And when that time comes, you'll be prepared if you live for Jesus. I'm going to close by asking you a question. We'll be done. Here's my question to you. Based off this word and what you've heard this morning, are you prepared? We've seen the promise. It will happen. We've seen the people. They don't care. And now we're seeing in our text this morning that you and I need to be prepared. You say, Brother J.D., am I prepared? Friend, the only person that knows that is you. Deep down in that heart, I don't know nobody, and you don't know nobody. But I'm thankful the Bible tells us that people can be prepared. Many people want to know, what is the world coming to? Friend, it's coming to Jesus. It will happen. And you and I, on the authority of God's Word, need to be prepared. And I wrote this down because it spoke to me. There is no worse feeling on earth than not being sure if you're ready to meet Jesus. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. You say, I'm not really sure. Friend, that's a dangerous place to live. But based off what God has to say in His Word that is promised, it is true, there is no lie. Based off God's Word, you can be sure. I was really looking for an amen there. Do you not want to be sure about your eternity? Does that not impact you folks? Boy, I tell you, that light's my fire. that I know it's not based off what I do. I fail and I slip, but my eternity is secure in the man, Christ Jesus. Does that not fire you up? Man, that does something to me. To know that I can be sure. And I am certain, based off this word, that the Bible tells us you can be sure. You say, Brother J.D., prove it to me. Let me give you a scripture that'll help us out. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Friend, this morning you can know. And so many people don't live that way. They live worried, and they live sick, and they look at the next step, and they wonder, and they frighten, and they stammer. Friend, let me tell you something. You need to leave here being sure of where you're at with Jesus. Maybe you're not sure today because you're not trusting God's promises. Friend, there's so many Christians that live that way. They're saved, they're doing good, but they're not trusting the promises of God. And friend, that's a miserable way to live. It is as the Bible says, Paul says, you will be most men miserable if all you got is hope here. And the Bible's very clear, you can trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, most of us know it. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Friend, we can trust God with His promises. We can trust God. I wrote this down. Maybe you're not sure today because you just don't care. And friend, that's a dangerous place to live. Somebody who does not care about eternity, especially when the Bible's clear that it is promised. And I'm afraid that so many people in this room, I'm afraid that people that come to church every week just don't care. They do right, and they live how they want to, and they don't do nobody wrong, and they work and they volunteer in the community, and they work for the ball clubs, and they do this and they do that, and they tip very well, but they don't care about eternity. And friend, if that's you this morning, God wants you to be prepared. And that's why He says in verse 44, be ye also ready. And friend, I want you to know, you can turn a maybe into a surety today. Amen. You can turn a maybe into a surety today. Because the Bible's very clear that God wants us to be sure about where we stand with Him. Wherever you're at with Jesus today, let me end with this. Get prepared. The Bible says no man knows the hour, no man knows the day, but it will happen. Wherever you're at with Jesus this morning, let me tell you something. If you're a person that's not trusting God the way they ought to, friend, you can do something about it. You don't have to live that way. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd get this altar right now and I'd ask Jesus to give me assurance. Because I don't want to live that way the rest of my life. You can trust God's promises. But friend, there's the other side to it. Maybe you're somebody that just don't care and you need to be saved. And friend, let me encourage you this morning. You've come to the right place. Because the Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. If you've never been saved, if you're not sure about your eternity, let me tell you what I'd do. I'd come right here at this altar at our time of invitation and I'd make sure I knew. Because it could happen today. Friend, we're not waiting on nothing. He could come right now. And you must be prepared for that time. Let me pray for us and we'll have our time of invitation. Father, in Jesus' name, I love you. Thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word. Father, I pray right now, if there's anybody that hears me this morning in this place, they're not sure. Father, I pray you change that this morning. Lord, they can know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is their Savior. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. And my prayer this morning is if there's anybody in this room that's not trusting you the way they ought to, Father, I pray they'd come to you and I pray they'd ask you to do that work in their life. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody in this room that just don't care, but Lord, they've realized they need to be prepared. Lord, they realize they need a Savior and they realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. My prayer is that you'd push them, Lord. You'd convict them and you'd show them that Jesus is the right decision. Lord, I thank you that you laid your life down on that cross. You shed your blood that we might be saved and that we might have hope. My prayer this morning, if there's somebody in this room that does not have hope, that you would do a work in their life this morning. We love you and we thank you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I'd ask you to stand. We'll have a...